And we're going to start here. Romans 12, or 6:12, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in lust thereof." What he's bringing out here concerning don't remain under the shadow of Satan, okay, because he will mold your perspectives to be contrary to the anointing. So it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body," because that which is of the shadow of Satan will always affirm, okay, those things of the flesh, to stand in one's principle, to labor for that aspiration, and to look also for that justification in the flesh. So let not sin therefore reign. And that's in Romans 6:12. Do you want to make some notes on that? So we see two kingdoms right here, the kingdom of the flesh, okay, being of the waters, which is sin. Okay, how about Romans 6:16? On the same line of thought there. "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin," I mean, that's a kingdom, "unto death," okay, which is death unto death, "or of obedience unto righteousness." Okay, which we have two different standards, the standard of the logic of man in the flesh, or the standard, okay, of God's, the grace of God, the reason of God. The reason of God stands in perfect equity, because we see from his perspective, and we reason according to that scale. "So know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey." So we also see two different kinds of stewardship. See, Satan's stewardship and God's stewardship. Okay, you're enslaved one to one or the other. All right, that's in Romans 6:16. And then Romans 6:23 is another good one. "For the wages of sin is death." Okay, the wages of sin, that is what Satan gives for your labor, is corruptible. The wages of sin, the gifts of sin. The wages of sin is death. We know the gifts of God, which it says right here, the gift of God is eternal life. God issues tokens, okay, which sustain our faith. Now, Satan issues tokens of contrariness. Contrariness and contradiction and corruption. The things of this world. Fantasy, flattery, finance, and the fables of this world. "For the wages of sin is death." Why is it work death? It doesn't bear that anointing. Because it doesn't bear the anointing, it doesn't give light or life. Okay? So therefore, the wages of sin is death. The kingdom which you labor for, the kingdom which you're enslaved to. Okay, the false stewardship is death. Okay, but the gift of God, okay, the tokens which he provides for us, is eternal life. And we'll be talking more about that, as you see in the illustration there on Facebook. So God provides us these gifts for our hope. He is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because everything that we receive is from his provisions. The provisions of his propitiation. So that we don't transgress against him. That we don't sin against his light. Don't sin against his goodness. That's in Romans 6:23. Okay, how about something out of 1st Adam and Eve before we get started? We can see that Adam experienced a great contradiction, come from the light and darkness. Okay, as we also come from darkness to light. Okay, we experienced a contradiction. When we came from darkness and light and experienced that contradiction, okay, also experienced weakness and fear and trembling. Because we're entering into another dimension that we're completely unfamiliar with. When we were in darkness, we were unfamiliar to the light. Now we're in the light. Having come from darkness into light, God in his wisdom has now provided us a contrast to weigh good and evil, to weigh that which is profane to that which is holy. Then Adam said to Eve, "See this fire which we have a portion in us." Now see, that fire is now being restored to us by Jesus' propitiation. To his sacrifice, the fire that Adam lost, he is now restored to Adam. He has now been restored to us concerning the cleansing of the conscience, the purifying of the conscience, okay, and also the cleansing of the soul, to the redemption of the body, spirit, soul, and body, so that we can enter in through that altar of fire into the presence, see, of our Father's throne, okay, that which is located upon that which is the crystal sea, okay, being pure, holy, that is pure light, being the conscience of the Father. Okay, which he now puts a portion within us so that we can walk as children of light. We'll be talking more about that. Then Adam said to Eve, "See this fire of which we have a portion in us, which formerly yielded to us but no longer does so, now that we have transgressed the limit of creation and changed our condition, and our nature is altered. But the fire is not changed in its nature, nor altered from its creation. Therefore has it now power over us, that's over the flesh. When we come near it, that's physical fire, it scorches our flesh. So before sin came, fire was our covering. Now it's our enemy. That's what Adam is saying. Before we transgressed God, okay, this fire was our covering. But now this fire is our enemy and seeks to devour our flesh. Now God has engrafted the righteous with this fire of his anointing in order to sustain our faith. So we're going to start here. Take your seat. Have your Bibles open to Ephesians. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Ephesians chapter 4, around verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're going to be starting there. So let this be your goal. And the word endeavor there is let this be your goal to guard your soul. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let this be your goal to guard your soul and to preserve the bonding. Okay, and this bonding, which embraces his mercy, and to settle our conscience. It settles our conscience. It's the bond of peace. We're putting on the crown of peace. Whereas vessels of mercy and his gifts of mercy is to settle the conscience. Okay, and where by settling the conscience, we find this in his house. We talk more about that in his house. This bonding in peace. We're bonding one together with peace, not strife. Now the law works strife because the law is a tyrant to the spirit. As we see when they smote Jesus on the head, okay, with a reed and spit upon him and smote him. Okay, the law is aggressive against the spirit. The law is aggressive against the anointing. It's violent towards the anointing. It wants to destroy the anointing because the law works with the knowledge of this world. And the law identifies the knowledge of this world as being evil. Okay, but the law does not provide remedy for the breach. The anointing provides the remedy for the breach. Okay, so he goes on here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the bridge for the breach. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. As we put on the crown of peace, we speak charity one to another. And he goes on to explain this. Because there's only one body or one house. The government of God isn't constructed of many different shrines, independent shrines. Okay, as it is written, they shall no more offer sacrifices upon every high hill or under every green tree. They must bring them now into this one place. They must bring them to this one altar of this tabernacle. So there's only one body. What he's bringing out here, all the stones, the precious stones of this holy priesthood is building one house now, which before it could not have been possible, seeing that every minister, pastor, was providing for his own altar, his own shrine. It was to pursuit for their own personal identification, which we see many different denominations. But there's only one identification which we possess, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's one body. So there are not many shrines, but one house. There are those many stones, okay, of this one house. So there's one body and one spirit. We all receive all these precious stones receive this one seal, which we see also in the book of Hermas. There's one body and one spirit, one name and power, and power of ownership, even as we are called into one hope. As you were elected, he says here, we're called as one hope as you were elected to serve for the eternal inheritance. This is our hope. This is our goal. This is the promise. The hope of promise of this predestination, okay, is a witness within our own conscience. He put that witness within our conscience when he breathed upon us and we spoke in other tongues. That being awakened, we walk uprightly, no longer as the beast, which walks on all fours. The beast is ignorant. Okay, the beast is ignorant because it's under that shadow or the cloud of his own signature. Okay, being under a cloud of his own signature, it professes and boasts of its own record, which is the aspiration and principle and the imagination. We walk now as children of light, walking uprightly. Okay, we speak according as the Lord would have us to speak and to communicate. There is one light and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Okay, this is the eternal inheritance that sanctifies us. okay, by his sanctification in his new priesthood, not that which is of Aaron, okay, which was under that, which is under the garments of, okay, under the or animal skins. So the skin of ram skins were dyed red, which means that which is a carnal nature has to change by another power. Okay, so it was dyed red to show the offense, and that blood would be shed in order to remove that offense. And it was removed, okay, by Jesus as he died on a cross, removing that curse that he put upon Adam. As it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So removing the curse from Adam, okay, now he speaks according to that which is the Father. Into thy hands I receive my spirit, which Jesus did, and he rose physically from the dead. So now we're cleansed, spirit, soul, and body. They'll be sanctified wholly. He sanctified holy, we would be presented to him, okay, as we pass through the altar of fire, through the courts of the temple, to the presence of the throne, will we ever be with the Lord, as we see in Revelation. So there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See that in verse 5. So hide the word one, okay, because there's one Lord, one master. We serve one master by one faith, okay, by one faith, so that this removes confusion of faith. Okay, if there is more than one master, then confusion of faith exists, as we see in the false religious system. Okay, there's confusion of faith in the false religious system. The source and their origin, okay, is strange to the Lord. So there's confusion of faith. Okay, so we all receive that one baptism, that one circumcision. Okay, the circumcision which is from above. Okay, which identifies us with this one kingdom. So there's one master, one Lord, one master, which we serve with one faith. Okay, our obedience of reflection comes from the anointing and no other source, not from seducing spirits, not from doctrines of devils, but from one source. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, which affirms the seal of his name, the tokens of his ownership. We'll see more about that now as we turn to 1 John chapter 3. So make sure you put your marker here in the book of Ephesians, because we'll be coming back from in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3. And we can see, he says, behold. Okay, behold, he says, look at this propitiation. See, look at his propitiation, the tokens of the volume of the book. Because Jesus is the Word of God. Being the Word of God, okay, is a condensed form of saying the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Okay, that which is spoken by the Word is which we live by, which is being imprinted as a law and covenant in our hearts and minds. Our perspective is according to that restriction. Okay, the restriction of truth. You see, the law of truth provides the restrictions and boundaries of our expression, as that which was given by Moses to the children of Israel. Okay, it's called the law of Moses, because Moses, being the voice of the Lord, provided this knowledge and truth for the restrictions of their expression to bring it to one altar under the sanctified priesthood, okay, identified with that stewardship, okay, which is passed on from Moses, the law, to Joshua. And Joshua passed it and brought it through the rivers of water. Okay, that was a new beginning and a new baptism to the hill of foreskins, okay, which is their second circumcision. As we pass through the fire of altar, the fire of the altar, our circumcision takes place, okay, and all those tokens of death, okay, have been removed, have been burned off. So, beloved, he says here, what he's bringing out here, this is a selected people, a chosen people, a royal people, a holy people, a new nation of adoption under a new name. A white stone has been provided for us. Which white stone isn't located, okay, within the breastplate of Aaron? Okay, it's in the breastplate of Christ, in his heart, which he's provided for us, a new stone, a white stone, a new name, okay, by which we're identified as a new race, a new breed of the firstborn of heaven. So, beloved, look at his propitiation as the volume of the book, okay, which we also see in John 17:26. Look at his propitiation as the volume of the book, being the Word of God. This is to be the pattern of our treasures, of his treasures for us and in us. Okay, this is his joy. As he said, that my joy might be fulfilled in them, and that our joy may be full, that their joy may be full, that our joy may be full. This is what Jesus was petitioning the Father. This was the prayer of propitiation, to establish this record and reality for the righteous which will live from this point on. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hide the word sons of God there. Hey, this was determined. These treasures were determined for us since the bosom, in the bosom of the Father. That's before the world, before the world was, before the foundation of the world. The language which is used by the first century apostles helps us to identify the seed which was set within the conscience of all Adamites, to be awakened by that grace, to be drawn by the Father, so that this repentance would be sealed. Our Father already knew the conditions which we'd be set within, and the environment which would be challenging to the flesh. Okay, though we're sons of God, we are put within restrictions of this adoption, being that which is the form of the flesh, as our Lord also showed to us. Being the King of Kings, he was treated as a slave of man, as a servant of man. And being as a servant, he went to the cross to provide us this form of adoption, that we as sons of God. So, beloved, behold what manner, he says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. See the word Father there. Has bestowed upon us, this is the benefit, our adoption. It's the benefit of adoption by the sign of the living witness. Our Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God, that we be included within the Godhead, above the angels. Above the angels. The angels are not included in the Godhead, because our Father didn't provide the engrafting, okay, for that. For that position, God's provided the engrafting for us for that position, to where the ministering spirits now serve us to this goal. They serve us to the goal for this adoption of salvation. Are they not our ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them as being the heirs of salvation? Okay, so the ministering spirits, these angels, okay, is ministering this knowledge of grace for to seal this adoption within us to be called sons of God. That we're walking uprightly with a whole new perspective, not as the beast which grazes in the field. It goes about its daily routine, okay, of eat and sleep and moving about from one point to another point. Okay, it is only living out its signature. All Adamites that walk in darkness are just living out their signature. They only confirm the record of their own soul. We're being crucified to the record of the flesh, to embrace that which is living, the record of Jesus Christ. So I'm crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless I live, though I'm in the body right now, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which now live in the flesh, I live by the power of God. Our whole perspective is based upon him and not us. So we're moving from glory to glory, from grace to grace, as we continue to walk within this witness which is from above. For the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They do not operate independently of that record. The false religious system works independently of the record which the Word has provided for us. So the Word is unto them precept upon precept, and precept upon precept, a letter upon letter, that they may go backwards, fall, and be broken. With the knowledge which you're embracing is for the boast of man, being the wisdom of this world. Okay, but that which we have received is tethered to the Godhead and works life and light. So now we have received that title of adoption. So now we're walking accordingly as children of light. That we should be called sons of God. Okay, that means we're identifying the Godhead, the governor of our destiny. Therefore the world knows us not, because we're as kings. Okay, we're as kings yet for adoption. You see the movies. You see this inscribed in movies, where two sons are born to the king. Okay, you say they're twins. But one son is adopted by those which are common people, while the other is being groomed for the throne. Okay, but the one that's being groomed for the throne is an evil son. Okay, the one that's been adopted by the common people, is learning, as you could say, the virtues of poverty, just put that way. Okay, the struggles of poverty in the common people. Okay, so that he gains an insight by his own experiences of lack and labor. Now Jesus, as the King of Kings, came into the dimension of the flesh, experiencing lack and labor, being as the son of Joseph the carpenter. Lack and labor as common people. okay, and viewed upon by those which were more fortunate, okay, in wealth, okay, as okay, being viewed upon as poor people, common people. So we can see the struggles, the social struggles that exist with these two, with the twins, like Esau and Jacob, okay, or Cain and Abel, as an example. So God put these examples, okay, within the lives of the characters of the Bible, okay, for our understanding of this adoption, okay, like the good son and the prodigal son, as an example. Okay, but our adoption is that which is of the seal of the Spirit, which Paul brings out in his epistle there. Therefore, the world cannot identify us, okay, because we are undiscerned by the logic of the carnal mind. Because, and it says here, because it knew him not when he was physically seen. He took the form of man, the form of flesh, and was servant. Okay, being in the bosom of the Father, he was equal with him. He took the form of the flesh and was made subject to him for the purpose of establishing this contrast for our understanding, so that in the ages to come, upon our the completion of our redemption, when our Father assigns us, okay, these chambers of dimensions, and to rule as kings, that we will not tyrannize, okay, the lesser forms, that we not tyrannize them, but rather nourish them as a father would a son, that they would nourish, and that we would cherish these things as our Father cherishes us, that we continually express mercy to them as our Father expresses mercy to us. Unto the merciful you will show mercy, as the scriptures bear out. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see this in verse 2 there. Okay, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Because even in the bosom, the protesters only wanted to consume for the God code, carnal things. They want the God code of the sinner, the protester. The God code of the protester is to hoard for a boast. You see this in movies all the time, hoarding for the boast. Okay, but the consenters, observing these things, saw the humility that must be accepted for the riches to be gained, the true treasures. And Jesus did speak of treasures, also brought out the contrast between the rich man and Lazarus. But Jesus again pointed out the true treasures when he said, "Behold, the fowls of the air, or the lilies of the field." Okay, that he was showing to us concerning the true riches, okay, the true riches of the design. Okay, though it was put within simple things, yet expresses eternal things for us as the mystery unfolds. Behold now, he says here, say those that adopt this power. Behold now, are we the sons of God? So he says, those which are adopted this power now, okay, are the children of the anointing. We're children of the anointing. Because we have received the engrafting of this fire upon our baptism, as our Lord has shown to us, okay, upon this profession. Behold, when the Lord spoke over him, he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," which proclamation he also speaks over us. Behold, my children, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, this is because of the engrafting. Behold now. Now are we the sons of God, adopted by this blessing and sign, those invisible in our flesh form or shell, okay, we shall expand as his light to the far reaches of his soul. Okay, as you see in the illustration, okay, as the Spirit works within the chambers of our soul, expanding itself, okay, to its farthest reaches, so also will we in our Father's bosom expand his lightness and his power unto the far reaches, okay, of the chambers of his soul, filling it with all precious things, to which also we will present to him when he calls us forth to himself. When our Father calls us forth in order to participate within the Kedusa, okay, we also will bring forth the treasures of this creation for all the eyes of the angels, all the eyes of the great angels, okay, whether it be the archangels, they are all the Yahwehs. That means all the great princes who also are called Yahweh, because they all possess portions of the Lord. They all possess portions of the Lord as we possess a portion of him now. Okay, we possess a portion of him within us. Okay, they will also be in great expectation of this work and be overwhelmed by its power. when the light of his countenance shines forth, okay, upon the expression and the manifestation of these gifts within us, it's going to be overwhelming even to the great angels. Okay, this marvelous work. And it's not even stopping there. There is no there's no end. Okay, there's no conclusion to this power. Okay, there's no restriction to it. The farther reaches of the soul. Okay, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, but now, he says, but we know that is this witness testifies this to our conscience, okay, of his baptism. See, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Another great mystery Chief Elder John is bringing to our attention, okay, as he also witnessed the holy city, New Jerusalem, and he saw the Father's light, okay, in the holy city, because the holy city doesn't possess any natural light, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. There's no need of the temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and we shall walk in the light of that temple. We shall ever be with the Lord. These are the great and precious promises, okay, which he's provided for us, so that we can, with patience, long-suffering, and endurance, and continually walk before him in this dimension, okay, with this confidence. Okay, but we know that when he shall appear, and this is even a come to reward our faith, that we shall be like him by these power tokens, okay, by these powers and by these gifts. Because by these gifts, okay, we now gain understanding, and we see him eye to eye. We see him face to face. We see him eye to eye by these gifts. Then we shall physically see him face to face, okay, at the appointed time of our Father. Okay, when the children go through the sources of cleansing, they shall be brought before the king, as we see in the illustration, say, in the book of Daniel, in one example, or the book of Esther, okay, where she went through 12 months of purification before, and to learn the language, okay, of the kingdom, to learn language of the Chaldeans. Okay, then she'd be brought in order, before the king to converse with him on a level and language of understanding, okay, as we also, okay, learning a language of God's kingdom. Okay, we also are children of his house, of his one body. Okay, so we're learning a language for this form of communication, and we're going through the cycles of our cleansing to be purified, so that we qualify to be in the presence of the king for the times of the reward is Daniel. Okay, Daniel went through a period of time of preparation, of learning, okay, the language, the customs, okay, and he received a new name. Okay, Daniel received a new name. Belteshazzar, okay, he received a new name, as also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, that was a new name given to the children of Judah. Okay, at that time, this was showing another adoption. See, we also receive a new name, okay, as children of adoption. Okay, it's a descriptive name of our Father, okay, which he's provided for us that identifies us. And there will be no repetition of names. Every name will be uniquely, okay, designed for yourself. And that is a secret name, okay, which we have received. The only times anybody would know your secret name if you disclose it to them. Okay, we can see this this form of our secret names, okay, among the watchers. Okay, the watchers share their secret names one with another so that they could call forth one another. Okay, it's like a long distance phone call. Okay, in other words, the descriptive name is he had numbers assigned to it, like you would your phone number. Okay, and you call upon that descriptive name, and immediately you have a form of communication. Okay, so we should be like him, as conscience to conscience, receiving our descriptive names, okay, that we always will be in communion with him. For we shall see him as he is. Okay, right now is understanding. They've been also face to face. And every man has his hope in him. That means all the saints feel the compulsion, okay, of his drawing to this goal and promise. Every man that has his hope in him purifies himself, okay, by this goal and promise of these gifts, for the promise to endure the separation of faith, as Abraham revealed to us. Okay, Abraham was taken from his father's house, and he was given a new name, from Abram to Abraham, and Sarai to Sarah. Okay, he was joined to his wife. Sarai to Sarah. By this new name, the womb was able to bear Isaac. That was a name of power. From Sarai, a barrenness, to Sarah, to fruitfulness. From Abram, from barrenness, to Abraham, to fruitfulness. Okay, so we can see this is the name of our adoption for fruitfulness, a new name. So Abraham went through a form of separation, preparation, sanctification, and for a new priesthood, okay, after the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek met him. So we have a stewardship and the priesthood being met together by which he obtained that promise. Then God gave him circumcision, okay, as a seal. And the Lord also gives us a circumcision as a seal to us to help us to identify stewardship and priesthood. Okay, without that circumcision, there's no identification point of stewardship and priesthood. So every man has this hope in him because all the saints feel this compulsion and the drawing. No man can come from the Father except he draws him, as the Lord said. Every man has this hope in him, this golden promise, purifies himself of the separation, even as he is pure, okay, being pure in conscience, okay, as Jesus is our conscience for us, for this adoption. Okay, we have the mind of Christ as his conscience, okay, so that he sits now on the throne of our conscience. When he sits upon the throne, he's our judge at the gate. And being the judge of the gate, he filters out that which is good and evil. He filters between those things that we're building with gold, silver, and precious stones, and not wood, hay, and stubble. It shall be revealed by fire. In verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also law. See, that those that remain under Satan's shadow there, okay, will not be fruitful in God's kingdom because he takes the perspective of the logic of his own flesh and will stand against the anointing. Even if he's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, as we see with Hymenaeus and Alexander, okay, and Diotrephes, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay, they now took it in another direction. They commit sin. They're standing in Satan's shadow and perspective, and they now want to hoard for the boast. They as protesters, and they all protested against stewardship. That's the first thing they protested against was stewardship. Okay, they want to challenge stewardship. Then they want to challenge the knowledge. Now they're resisting the Holy Ghost. That goes through that form, okay, of separation from God. So whosoever commits sin transgresses also law. Okay, those that refuse the pattern of the Jesus record will violate, okay, against the government. So those who refuse this pattern also violate this pattern and do not remain within restrictions of the covenant. Okay, transgresses also against the law. They don't want to remain within those restrictions. Okay, so if you transgress against the law, you're not a doer of law, but you're a transgressor of the law. You're not remaining under its restrictions. Okay, for sin is a transgression of the law. Okay, all the protesters refuse the terms of the separation for the purging of his joy. For sin is a transgression of the law. We function with the law of grace. Those which are carnal-minded transgress against. They refuse to remain within the restrictions of truth. Grace and truth, which the Father seeks such to worship him with. Okay, because the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, and Jesus, in the flesh now, was making this known to the Jews. Okay, that the law of Moses could not make this provision for you because the conscience is not yet purified. And when I go to the cross and remove that curse, okay, removing that curse of death within the conscience, I also remove the curse of death within the soul and the flesh. And I'll prove this to you, Jesus was saying, when I rise from the dead. Yeah, I'm building a new temple. So destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Okay, a new temple, a new people with power, as the day of Pentecost revealed. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also law. They're standing in another perspective. For sin is a transgression of law. It refuses separation for purging. Okay, as we see with Laban. Laban wanted to remain in the house of his father. Okay, in the house of his father there, okay, in Syria, okay, but Jacob was separated from that. Okay, he received the fruit of his labor and separated himself from that, which Laban wanted to take by force, but the Lord intervened, okay, in a dream, said, "You shall not speak unto Jacob anything to transgress or to violate my oath to him." But Laban, though he used words, okay, of aggression, he could not perform the task because the Lord wouldn't allow him that. Because Jacob wrestled with the angel and he had power with God and men. Okay, so whoever commits sin transgresses also law, for sin is transgression of the law. We'll move on here, verse 5. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Now you can see why Jesus set this law in his record. For you now, so, and you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, to purge the debt, okay, by his own conscience. Okay, yet as a record, he was free from these things. He was free from concupiscence of the promise, which Satan gives. Concupiscence of promise is what Satan was providing for him, tempting him. If you will fall down and worship before me, I'll give you all these things. That's a promise of concupiscence, which Satan makes to those of the unconverted believers. Promise of concupiscence, okay, which Satan gives to the darkened mind. That's the worm on the hook. If it wasn't for promises, the sinner wouldn't pay attention to him. But Satan draws by the promise of concupiscence, that the sinner can build a reputation with the aspiration, with the principle, okay, and the imagination to control, to dominate, or to destroy. Okay, now let's go to Thessalonians. Okay, that is 1 Thessalonians 5:5. In order to go back to John here. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, we're going to read about these things here, about the day star even. You are the children of light and the children of the day, or children of the day star. So you, that is you that are in covenant. All right. Of course, we can see the Apostle Paul was talking to those under his stewardship. He wasn't talking to the general population or to the general denominations. He's talking to those which are in covenant. How do you know they were in covenant? Because you're identifying with the stewardship. We have those that are out there that are saying they're in covenant, but they're denying the stewardship. So therefore, they're not in covenant. Those that denied Noah denied covenant. They denied their refuge. They denied their refuge. But those that acknowledge the stewardship accept the refuge which God puts within the stewardship. So you are the children of light and the children of the day, or children of the day star, okay, which is the sun. You are children that have a priesthood. You identify the stewardship, you're functioning in the priesthood. So you're the children of the day. But the unconverted will see the sign. When the sun turns to darkness and the moon into blood, that shows that they denied the stewardship and they rejected the priesthood. Their priesthood was darkness. It was under the shadow of Satan. And their stewardship, okay, was murderous. It was violent towards the stewardship God sanctified. So the moon turned to blood as a witness against him. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. Okay, which shows that all those without stewardship are as wandering stars. They're wandering stars. As Satan also was cast out. He has no place, value, nor station, okay, within the elements. So you are all the children of light and the children of the day. Okay, we're all spring of the higher intelligence. Okay, we are not of the night nor of darkness. He says here, we're not the protesters of these waters. We're not as the beasts of the field, okay, which are ignorant, as those that walk in the darkness, because God now has restored light to us, calling us as firstborn, okay, and giving us great beauty and equity before him and wisdom and power. We'll see the same thing which Chief Elder Peter spoke about. So I'm going to jump to the Peter here, then we'll go back to Thessalonians and back to John. Okay, so we go to Peter. We'll get asked in 2 Peter. I'll just read that to you. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. Okay, the claims of his fullness, the fullness of his entity, which has roots and memorial in the bosom of the Father. So we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Okay, whereunto you do well, Peter says, Chief Elder Peter says, that you take heed, okay, that this is your guide, okay, and scale. As unto a light, there's the word light again, but here we can use the word light as our cradle, okay, the cradle of our beginning, that shines in a dark place and illuminates the chambers of your soul. The knowledge of God by the anointing, which is spirit and truth, enlightens the places, the caverns of your soul, okay, which has to do with the far reaches of the soul, are now habitations of his light. Until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts. There's the word day star. The day star as the sun. Okay, a new season of beginning and the cycles of your growth. Okay, now let's go back to Thessalonians 5:5. But you, brethren, not darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Okay, you are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not in the night nor of darkness. See, the Apostle Paul is making this distinction and including himself within that distinction. We are not of the night. We are not protesters in these waters, okay, nor of darkness. Neither are we walking under Satan's shadow. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us remain, that we come out of the trance, okay, as we continue to drink of his grace. So let us watch and be sober, aware of the wiles of Satan. There's that spirit of Antichrist, the Antichrist spirit, those of the law, which want to oppose it. Satan's Jesus in the assembly. They want to impose a different Jesus. Okay, we have the living Jesus, and then we have the paper Jesus. The paper Jesus is the law, but the living Jesus is the true word. Okay, the living Jesus is the capital word, capital W word. The paper Jesus, okay, is a lowercase letter word. But we live by every word of God. That which is spoken by the anointing is what we live by. And that's what Jesus was saying to Satan. Okay, Satan was speaking by lowercase. Jesus was speaking by uppercase. Satan was speaking by, okay, that which is untethered to the throne. He was saying, he was quoting scripture, the lowercase word, okay, but was untethered from the throne. Therefore, it was unsanctified. And speaking such, it was a transgression. Okay, but Jesus is speaking as the uppercase letter W. He was the word of God. When Jesus spoke it, he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He is speaking from the uppercase by the anointing to the throne. So therefore, he says, let us be sober. So they that sleep in the night under Satan's shadow, and they that be drunken, which is intoxicated with false knowledge, are intoxicated in the night as the protesters. They are of the beast, of the Hydra. But let us, who are of the day, here's the word day again, being the altar of fire, identifying the sun. But let us, now in this season, because Jesus is our Sabbath man, but let us who are the day, being our Sabbath man also, be sober, alert, and labor at the altar of Christ, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So you see, faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity, as Paul brings out there in 1 Corinthians 13. So we're putting on these tokens, the breastplate. We're putting on these tokens of gifts to reciprocate the blessing by reflection and charity, okay, with a hope of expectation. We are enduring mental contradiction by the tokens that save us. Mental contradiction, which exists in this dimension. There will be no mental contradiction. Okay, the psychology of this world continually wants to resolve the struggles, the breaches, okay, of mental oppression. The psychology of the world is trying to bridge these breaches of mental oppressions. Okay, but the Lord of grace, okay, is providing the anointing now, the token of this anointing, the gifts of the anointing, okay, are filling in the breaches. They're filling in the breaches and bringing perfect equity in each stage and cycle of your growth. Okay, now we're going to go back here just for a moment to 1 John 3, 5. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, to removing the offense, the cleansing of the conscience, the purging of the soul, and in him is no sin. Because as a record, he was free from this concupiscence, okay, of Satan's promises, as we are with truth. Whoso abides in him sins not. Whoso sins and hath seen him, neither known him. The person that abides in the shadows of Satan's kingdom, he is continually transgresses against government, truth, and spirit by not utilizing the tokens he provided in his mercy. The gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, neither knows him through these things, being void of his gifts. To behold him, he will stand in his doubt and indifferent to this blessing and continually sow sedition and schism in the body, which Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians 12. There are many, many members, but one body. There are many stones, but one house. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Okay, it goes back to the source of this iniquity of independence. Okay, he's a protester, as Satan is, and rebellious to stewardship, as Satan was to our Lord. Okay, and as Satan is to Christ. When Satan set forth this sin of independence, okay, to be a pattern, okay, in all those that rebel against God, okay, against God, and it'll be fruitless towards him or ungodly. And now we go from there back to Ephesians here for a moment, Ephesians 4. So we're walking as children of light by this grace. as he brings out also in chapter 5, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's a command. Walk as children of light. So he's bringing out here that as in times past, be not you there partakers with them, the slime and mortar and brick. Remember, slime, mortar, and brick. The slime people. Okay, that's why Peter brings it out. The sow is returned to the mud. Okay, to the slime. The slime people are unclean. Okay, therefore be not you partakers with them, because there's no fellowship between those in covenant and those not in covenant. There's no fellowship there. They have broken the cord, because they use the logic as their own key to open the wrong door, because Satan is standing there, as we see in Genesis 4:7, when the Lord was speaking to Cain, right? Don't open the door, because Satan desires to have you. Don't lean to his counsel. Now, notice that God spoke to Cain, okay, yet Cain was a rebel. Okay, God speaks to people outside of covenant as much as he speaks to people in covenant. Okay, for you are sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Grace now removes this Satan's shadow as one awakened from the dead. Now we're walking as children of light. Now we're mobilized. We're mobilized by his charity, and that purges the soul. Now we're back to chapter 4 again. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all. Okay, one God, which has to do with the door of the fire charity of his government, which he's governed us by. And Father means the bosom of the Spirit, who is above all, because he's beyond time, above all. And he's through all. He's superior to all creations, and yet he lives through all beings. All things are tethered to his oath. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. We exist in his orb of light by his word. But unto every one of us is given grace. Unto every one of us is given grace here. Okay, that is his wisdom to direct this understanding, okay, and to set us order. But unto every one of us, God has appointed and issued these to the consenters, these gifts, which brings equity and confidence and peace and joy. It fills the soul. Those which are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will be filled. They will be filled. Those which are in a false religious system are looking in the wrong places to be filled. Okay, so they're using their logic, religious logic there, in order to try to fill the void. When they're laboring with these things, they feel their peace, but they can find no rest. Their labor has no rest because they're not working with the Sabbath man. They're working with a different power, okay, which is a seducing spirit. One God and Father in law, all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. I like the word grace there. Okay, God has appointed and issued to all these consenters, all of the consenters, us, okay, is given grace. This is wisdom to direct this understanding and to set also to, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, to set order. The measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, these are the powers to function, to serve, to bond, to grow, and to mature in. Okay, wherefore he says this, when he ascended up on high. So do you see this connection he says here, from the lowest to the highest? Okay, from the lowest to the highest. Okay, from darkness to light, from poverty to riches. Okay, when he ascended up on high, for Jesus was received by the Father into the throne. That means he was translated from flesh to flame, and by the fire seal, okay, this act of power. He gave gifts unto men. That is to transform us into his likeness by the same due process, from lowness to greatness, okay, from flesh to flame, okay, by the same gifts. So he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That is to transform us, those that consent to the bond with him, okay, to love him by the same gifts. We see the same thing in Proverbs about these blessings. In Proverbs chapter 10, 6 to 7. You can put your marker there. Chapter 10, 6 and 7. Blessings are upon the head of the just, he says here. Tokens of faith benefit the mind. Blessings upon the head of the just, because the just walk by faith. But violence, in contrast, covers the mouth of the wicked. Conflict of thought. Sinners will always criticize faith. Sinners will always criticize faith. So violence covers the mouth of the wicked, okay, as they argue their derision. The wicked always argue their derision. Okay, we argue Christ. Okay, we stand in his position. Okay, we stand in his position. We argue Christ. That means we continually stand and petition in his perspective. Okay, the memory of the just is blessed because our recall, okay, is that which it gives faith. The memory of the just is blessed. We recall, okay, that which gives faith. But the name of the wicked shall rot, okay, in verse 7. The tokens of sin identify his kingdom and his aspirations. And whatever they build with will collapse. For the name of the wicked shall rot. Okay, anything they use of Satan's kingdom, okay, will come to ruin. Okay, they see that physically. Okay, that's why there's change and change and change upon the world. The whole world, okay, is moving and reeling back and forth. They shall shake like a shanty, as the scriptures bear out. Okay, and move. Okay, as the waters of this kingdom move. Okay, it moves like the waters of the ocean. When the waters of the ocean or lakes move, okay, it moves sand and stone, okay, and dead things. Whatever is dead within it, it spits it out, and it continually moves and shifts. Okay, so the countenance of the earth is constantly changing because of the workers of iniquity. Okay, because of the workers of iniquity, the visage of the world is changing. In fact, when we come back after 7 years, the visage of and countenance of the earth will look vastly different than when we left it. The continents will have changed. The mountains will now not be found. The islands will have disappeared. Okay, and the face of the earth, okay, will be full of stripes, okay, smitings, okay, of God's wrath and plagues. Okay, it will be unrecognizable. When we come back. Okay, but the beast, okay, during that period is going to try to, okay, reestablish the earth as the Garden of Eden in order to lay claim, okay, to the scriptures and regarding his messiahship, false messiahship. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians, and we're going to end there. That's Ephesians chapter 4. All right, now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in lower parts of the earth? That's in verse 9 there. That is the lower parts of the waters to complete the cycle. It's like a spiritual migration. Okay, spiritual migration in the flesh. This is to prepare in us this covenant. Okay, from lowliness to greatness. All right, and having sealed this, he went to lower parts of the earth, the caverns of the condemned, okay, the caverns of Hades, in order to retrieve the righteous, okay, from there. Okay, and the Lord descended there. And he broke asunder the gates of brass, okay, and iron. He broke them asunder. Okay, those which were held captive, okay, he led captive with him. Okay, and emptied the caverns of the of Hades there of the righteous, okay, as he promised that he would, okay, to bring them and to lead them into paradise, as he promised Adam in the beginning. Okay, after 5.5 days, okay, I will come and I will bring you back into paradise. I will remove this threatening sword that's keeping you out of paradise so that you now can enter paradise. And there, of course, where the plan of God, that's just where the plan of God is really beginning with him, okay, in paradise. And he that descended, that's into the waters to release this plan, is he also that entered back to the bosom of the Father. So he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. That is into the Father's bosom again. And to give us these tokens of equal to himself, that he might fill all things. These are tokens. These are tokens, that he might fill all things. And he's going to be there until he makes his enemies his footstool. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's removing the removing of Satan's kingdom, his knowledge, his presence, and the earth. Okay, the earth bore the testimony of death. From the very beginning, the earth bore the testimony of death in it. When Satan was cast out over the abyss. From that point on, he carried with him every aspiration of his iniquitous ways. Okay, in order to fill the void of his own soul, okay, which is empty of God's virtue now, he had to fill his soul with something. The God code was hungering in order to consume. He filled it with all forms of iniquity. All the vices of this world are born from him. All the vices of this world are born from that kingdom of darkness. Okay, and they have grown, they have morphed and grown into the all various forms of grossness, grotesqueness. Okay, we can see this in the art of the world. You can see us in the movies of the world. You can see it in the society of the world, the grossness. Okay, of the roots of this iniquity are twofold. And when it's twofold, as it's also written, okay, when the Amorites, the children of Israel will not return here until the iniquity of the Amorites is full. And the children of Israel returned. When the iniquity was full, they returned. Okay, and they regained the right of the land. God gave them that right. And they took it out from the hands of the fallen watchers. God gave to Abraham, which the fallen watchers took, okay, and built names for themselves from Sihon, okay, and Og, king of Bashan, king of the Amorites. And so the iniquity of Amorites was full, okay, as the fallen watchers were ruling, and the sons of the watchers, okay, building large estates, okay, ruling over Edomites, claiming the Holy Land for themselves. It was given to Abraham, so Satan decided to take it, to establish a false testimony. Okay, the fallen watchers used the Garden of Eden as a false testimony to their presence. That's why God removed the garden to the third heaven at that time. He removed the Garden of Eden to another location outside this dimension of darkness into that light. Then the fallen watchers try to use the area, the location where the Garden of Eden was located in its absence now. Okay, and the promise which God gave to Abraham, okay, to establish a testimony to themselves again. Okay, which the Lord said, when he brings the children of Israel back, okay, they'll destroy everything. To destroy the residence, the dwelling places, and all things which bore the testimony, okay, of darkness, they destroyed. And to reestablish, this is what he gave to them. Okay, so we see that the desolate places were now being re-inhabited. Okay, that is a type and shadow of the desolate places of the Father's bosom, okay, which we're going to inhabit. Those places which are void of the presence of God's sons, okay, God is going to restore that to us. Okay, that's what he showed to us. Okay, they're empty right now, but they shall be filled with life. And we're going to bring the life of God, our Father, okay, into all these dimensions and inhabit them forever. Okay, the mansions of heaven.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.